Welcome to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast, informing, encouraging, and supporting your church. Your hosts are Michael Martin and Dan Busby from ECFA.
Thanks for tuning in to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast by ECFA. This is Michael Martin, back for another conversation with two of my great friends and colleagues here at ECFA, Dan Busby and Vonna Lau. We appreciate you investing in your church's excellence and integrity by joining us once again. Well, today we're going to zero in on the tough questions surrounding ministers' compensation. As we go to record this podcast, we're right in the middle of fall, and I know that's a time when many churches are beginning to think about the budgeting process for next year, and also beginning to think, or should be, about compensation planning for their ministers in the coming year. But no matter what time of year you're listening in, this topic is always relevant, and I know you'll really appreciate the wisdom from Dan and Vonna as we tackle some of the toughest questions that we hear churches asking about this important topic. So Dan and Vonna, let's start with those who may be brand new to church leadership, either going into a new pastorate, coming on church staff from industry, or maybe it's their first time serving on a church board where they're intersecting with ministers' compensation issues. And maybe they're like many that are saying, I don't know the first thing about ministers' compensation. Where should I start? So Dan, what would you recommend?
Well, first, I would say that anyone in that position is not alone. There are a lot of people just like you out there, and so don't feel like you're the only one that has that issue. But I would suggest that you invest your time in understanding the big three issues for ministers, and I think those big three are number one, Social Security; number two, expense reimbursements; and number three, the housing allowance, the minister's housing allowance. We've developed a lot of resources here at ECFA across the years, and one of the great resources is the Zondervan Minister's Tax and Financial Guide that has been written since 1992 and published annually, and the three of us plus our colleague John Van Drunen are co-authors in the 2018 edition, the 27th edition. So if you have a fair amount of background in these key issues, starting with the Zondervan Minister Tax Financial Guide might be good. But if you're not comfortable at that level, I would suggest starting with three ebooks that we've written on those three topics, Social Security, expense reimbursements, and the housing allowance. They're available at ecfa.church at a modest cost for non-members. They're free to members, but I would start with those three ebooks and kind of graduate up from there.
Well, that's a great tip, Dan. I appreciate the mention of the big three and also those three resources that folks can grab a hold of. Maybe just give us an overview. This is a good question for both of you. What is different about compensation for ministers, maybe compared to other employees? And ideally, what are the key components that should be part of every minister's compensation package?
Well, Michael, they're kind of that big three concept that we were talking about, Social Security. You know, an employer pays 50% of that tax, whereas for a self-employed minister, they're responsible for all 15.3% of that Social Security and Medicare tax. And that's a significant difference when you haven't been used to that in the past. Income taxes are certainly different. So the employer withholds, if you're a standard employee, they remit that on your behalf. But as we just talked about with the ministers being self-employed for income tax purposes, they can voluntarily have that withheld by the church, but it's ultimately their responsibility, whether they choose to do quarterly payments or they ask the church to do that. But that's certainly a different concept than what a lot of people would be used to. And then obviously the housing allowance. You know, some or all of housing expenses may not be subject to income tax. Certainly they're still subject to Social Security, so don't think that we're completely out of the woods there with taxes. But they wouldn't be subject necessarily if it's handled properly to the income tax.
You know, Michael, some people might view the Social Security arrangement that Vaughn explained so well as a penalty for ministers, because the employer in a secular employment pays half, but the minister has to pay the full 15.3, although the church could step up and help the minister with that half, that extra half that is the minister's responsibility. But you know, so the Social Security piece might be looked at as a negative impact. The income tax, well, you're going to pay the income tax one way or the other, so it's really not a plus or a minus. But the housing allowance, I have often called the housing allowance the minister's best friend, because for a minister either living in church-provided housing or providing their own housing, that is a tremendous benefit to have the housing not subject to federal and, in many cases, state income taxes. There's still that Social Security tax obligation. So my point is there are pluses and minuses. But with that housing allowance, generally ministers come out pretty nicely on the financial piece.
All right. Well, thanks so much for that overview. Here's another tough question, maybe a less technical question, but another tough question that many churches wrestle with, and that is, how do we know a fair amount to pay our minister?
Well, Michael, if the church is generous, as God is generous in blessing the church, I think the amount will be fair by default. Too many churches, I'm afraid, and ones that I've had experience with, start out with compensation on the low end of the scale, and then they say, well, we should add an inflationary amount because there's inflation out there, and so we'll add 2-3% a year. And the problem with that mindset is if the salary is not a reasonable amount, is not a generous amount to begin with, and then we add 2-3%, not generous plus 2-3% does not equal generous. It isn't going to work out that way. I believe that generous compensation starts with the church's philosophy on paying the pastor. You know, for example, is the church happy with the status quo, or do they want to grow? Does the church want to retain its pastor for many years, or are they happy with pastoral turnover every few years? And so it is the answer to those kind of philosophical questions that will drive the generosity of the compensation that is paid to the pastor.
Well, and Dan, I kind of look at it from the perspective also of, is it a reasonable living wage? You know, sometimes people, I think, look at pastors and say, well, maybe they are supposed to make less. It's part of their calling. And I believe we need to value that position and show the value that we place on it with how we compensate. It's an incredibly demanding job. And from a practical standpoint, you can use some denominational comparisons or maybe some compensation studies to provide further information in that.
Hey, Vaughna, that's actually a really good segue into another question that we often get, another tough question, and that is, you were mentioning those compensation studies or benchmarks, and for the churches that are maybe part of a denomination or a network that are blessed enough to have access to those, you know, how do we know a good compensation study when we see it?
Well, I think it needs to be relevant to your situation, and by relevance, I mean related to the role of the pastor that you're looking at and comparing, the size of the congregation. And that size may be attendance, or it may actually be budget size. Those can be two different comparisons that you would use. And then even looking geographically, is it relevant? You know, a church in Manhattan, Kansas is going to pay differently than a church in Manhattan in New York. And you've got to factor those in. So those comparisons really need to be relevant in each of those areas.
And Vaughn, I think I've heard you talk before in this area when it comes to compensation about these studies that they should really be a tool and not a weapon. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
I can, and I do like that phrase because we've got a lot of tools. Whatever we're trying to accomplish, whether it's a construction project or just something around the house, we've got a lot of tools that we can use, and we need to use them well. They each have their place in their function. And that would be the same with a compensation study. And once in a while, you'll see a board or a pastor or a business administrator that really wants to take that compensation study and use it as a weapon. This is why we don't need to pay them more. This is why I should be paid more. When you need to look at it and understand how it works and how it's relevant and use that as a tool.
Right. So it goes beyond just having a compensation study. We need to know how to use it and how to use it properly. Dan, what thoughts do you have on how to use a compensation study?
Well, I think compensation studies should be used as general information more than they are used as a benchmark. Vonna touched on this just a few moments ago, but I would suggest once you have your compensation study data, then step back and based on all the information that's been collected, determine whether the church is paying the pastor generously. Take into account the child or children that are in college or about to go to college. You know, consider whether you want to pay, the church wants to pay the pastor at a level where the pastor's spouse will have to work to provide for the family. You know, think about the debt load from college and seminary and much more. And then decide how generous the church should be with the pastor.
Right. Well, let's transition here to another tough question. It's a related question. And that is, what about smaller churches or maybe church plants where there isn't a budget for compensation or it's very limited? What do you recommend in those circumstances?
Well, Michael, first, I think the church needs to determine how much is available to pay the pastor. Many times, I'm afraid, because we have money in different budget buckets, and it's been in those buckets for a long time, we sometimes do not look at all of the resources that are available and determine what is really available for the pastor. And so I'd say take a hard look at what is really available. When money's tight, a church needs to be sure that the compensation elements have the best priority to steward the resources both for the pastor and for the church. The best sequence for a church where there's limited resources, after being sure they have the housing allowance properly designated, is to reimburse expenses. For example, reimbursing expenses first means that those dollars are removed from the income tax and the Social Security tax calculation. So get the expenses reimbursed First off the top, and then provide adequate fringe benefits. Many times those will be tax-free for income and Social Security tax purposes, sometimes only tax-deferred. And then finally, look at the cash compensation. Too often, churches with limited resources look at cash compensation first and then think about fringe benefits and expense reimbursements last.
Well, hey, we are off to a great start so far. I'm going to throw in one more question, and then we're going to take a quick break. The last question here for this segment is it okay for churches to pay a minister a bonus for a job well done? How about you, Ivana? What do you think?
Absolutely. If the church is able and it seems appropriate, there's no problem with it at all. I would make sure that you keep in mind that a bonus is taxable income. You can't just exclude that. It needs to be part of that package, and the resulting total compensation that's paid still needs to be within the bounds of reasonable compensation. But keep those factors in mind, and there's no concerns.
Great. Well, hey, thank you both for these incredible insights. As we've seen, even in just these questions, ministers' compensation can be a challenging topic, but we have so many great resources here at ECFA that can help. Tracy Weber from our church engagement team is going to share about a brand new online course from ECFA on ministers' compensation, and then we're going to jump right back into this discussion with more answers to the tough questions surrounding ministers' compensation.
Well, thank you all for this terrific information and the insights that you've been sharing on compensating your minister. If you're looking to take a deeper dive into this area, ECFA has created a brand new online course on ministers' compensation, and it includes videos, activities, quizzes, and more to help your church tackle this incredibly important topic. The entire course is a free ECFA member benefit and is available on the resources page at ecfa.church. Church Excel subscribers can also enjoy the first module of the Minister's Compensation course free from their Church Excel dashboard at churchexcel.org. For questions on the course or how to access it, email podcast@ecfa.org and we'll be happy to help. Or give us a call at 800-323-9473. And as always, if demonstrating integrity by displaying the ECFA seal is on your church's to-do list, we encourage you to visit the Join page on ecfa.church to access our new simplified application for church certification. It's never been easier to demonstrate integrity and enjoy all the benefits of ECFA membership. Michael, it's back to you.
Those are some excellent updates. Thank you so much. As Tracy mentioned, there are so many awesome resources available on this topic at ecfa.church, including the new online course. Definitely be sure to check it out. Well, Vonna and Dan, let's get back to answering some of those tough questions surrounding ministers' compensation. The next couple of questions that we have both relate to who when it comes to compensation. So let's start with, who should approve the minister's compensation?
Well, the governing board or a personnel committee of the board would typically do this on an annual basis. And I know we've got standards related to that. Dan, maybe you want to expand on that a little further.
Oh, that's exactly right, Vonna. The ECFA standards say that the church board, whatever the governing board is called in your particular church, the board or committee authorized by the board of the church should annually approve the pastor's total compensation package. And of course, the approval process should exclude those with a conflict of interest. You know, for ECFA members, and by the way, we think this is a good practice for all churches, the board must be notified of the total compensation package of any member of the pastor's family who is employed by the church. And of course, the compensation approval and notification should be documented in the minutes of the church board or committee meetings.
No, that's great. And that really speaks to, again, who should be approving the compensation of the ministers at your church. Specifically, the ECFA standards do relate to the top leader. A related who question may be, who in the church should know the pastor's compensation?
Well, that's usually a matter of church polity and discretion. You know, some denominations require the reporting of pastoral compensation to a denominational level above the church. Sometimes that's even published and becomes public information. But in most instances, the pastor's compensation is only known to the board and or committee involved in setting the compensation.
Well, and let me chime in for just a moment and say, you know, that's a lot of what we've talked about is kind of a higher level. Let me get into the nuts and bolts for just a minute and say, related to who's aware of that compensation number, processing payroll, it takes a person to do that on your staff. And sometimes that individual knows the compensation of the senior leader, and sometimes you'll actually choose to have someone else process payroll for that person. Really, I don't believe it's a matter of transparency or secrecy. It's often just more a matter of discretion, and that we're careful in who has access to that information.
Well, our last tough question here, and I'd like to end with one that's also a bit of an encouragement in this area. For those who follow this arena of ministers' compensation, you probably know that we've seen a number of studies that are out there that suggest that in many churches where the ministers' compensation is modest, we have a lot of pastors out there that are suffering in silence due to different financial challenges that they're facing. We know that they often put the needs of the church over their own and maybe sometimes don't feel comfortable speaking up about their financial challenges. So just to pick up off of what you just said, Dan and Vonna, as we've learned here in the podcast, it's really up to the board or other lay leadership to take responsibility for setting the minister's compensation. But sometimes even these folks find that talking about compensation challenges or bringing up the topic can be sensitive or maybe even a little awkward. So what tips do you both have for starting a healthy conversation surrounding minister's compensation?
Well, one of the tips that I would have is just put all the expectations on the table. You know, this is going to allow everyone to quickly see where there's alignment and to see where there are gaps. You know, it's too easy to have expectations that we haven't verbalized and we commit ourselves to those and then we get frustrated when they're not met. So communication to me really is a key in this process.
And following on with that, and I agree with what Vonna said, it is often difficult for a pastor to openly discuss his or her financial needs with a church board or a compensation committee, whatever committee is involved. And so I think a pastor needs at least one person to champion his or her compensation package. The pastor should be able to speak openly about compensation with the quote-unquote champion. And then the champion communicates compensation needs to the church board and or the committee. And so I'm all in favor of having a champion to communicate the pastor's compensation needs.
Well, thanks so much, Dan. I don't think we could end on a much better note than that. We've definitely seen that champion concept really make a difference in so many churches that we've worked with. I just want to say thanks again to you both for helping answer what are really some tough questions surrounding ministers' compensation. But I hope all those that are listening, I hope these encouragements and these practical insights have been helpful. You know, we always do like to close the podcast with an encouragement. And this time, Dan, I just love it if you wouldn't mind praying for our listeners and the churches they represent, especially as they're seeking to honor God and build cultures of excellence and integrity in this arena of ministers' compensation.
We'll be glad to. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have today to communicate on some of these challenging issues concerning ministers' compensation with those listening in on the podcast today. And I know that that you are concerned about pastors being compensated appropriately and so that their families are cared for. And I just pray that you would give the churches that that are listening in, those representing those churches today, listening in on this podcast, to give them wise discernment about best practices for their church so that they can not only care for their pastors appropriately, but they can steward the resources that you have given to these churches. Thank you again for this opportunity to share with these church leaders today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And thanks, Dan, again for that prayer. And thank you both for your insights today. It's such a blessing for us to serve so many amazing churches here through the ministry of ECFA. And just a reminder to subscribe to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast on iTunes, send the podcast link to a friend, or even share it on social media. And as we mentioned throughout the podcast, don't forget to check out all of the great resources we have when it comes to ministers' compensation on our website at ecfa.church. We have everything from ebooks to articles to webinars and even the new online ministers' compensation course experience. Well, God bless each of you, and thanks again for joining us. We look forward to being with you next time for another Excellence in Church Administration podcast.